It is 10:15. Our current temperature is 56 degrees, and we're expecting highs up into the mid-60s today, so it's going to be a very wonderful day weather-wise. This is the Community Hour, and we are joined this morning with local Fergus Falls author, Jesse Bangs. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well this morning. Thank you.
You have a fantastic book called The Storm Bride. First of all, to kind of set the scene here, where's the book based at?
The book is it's what they call a secondary world fantasy, meaning that it's set in an invented setting. It's not anywhere in the real world. It's along the same lines as J.R.R. Tolkien or George R.R. Martin's Game of Thrones. That kind of setting where it's
Lord of the Rings type.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, that sort of scenario. The particular culture that it's based on, it's not based on a medieval European setting, which is what a lot of stuff is. It's has a mixture of Native American themes and the Mongols, Central Asian.
I was going to ask
Central Asian tribes. Yeah,
I was going to ask you about that. You reference something called the powers in one of the excerpts I read. What are the powers? And we hear that a lot. Sometimes with Native American cultures as well.
Sure, the powers is within the context of this book is one of the they're the supernatural forces who exist within this setting. You could call them gods, but they aren't called that in the book. Some of them are more like nature spirits. Some of them are more like benevolent guides or things like that. In this particular book, the part of the major conflict is that one of the powers who is of the power of the invading people is in the distant past was disconnected or torn away from his wife. And that kind of motivates him and motivates the people who are under his protection to go on this warfare rampage, which then provides the background for the plot of the book.
Now, this is the first novel that you've written set within what you call the world of, and I hope I say this right, Aretaza. Is that right?
That's correct. That's exactly correct.
And what is the world of Aretaza, just in a nutshell?
Aretaza is a much larger setting that includes this book. It also includes the next two books that I'm writing, which I'm currently working on. It's a setting that I have been developing to some extent for almost 20 years now, actually. It started out when I was very young, when I was still in middle school, just as a kind of a play setting, something fun for me and my friends to do. In terms of role-playing games and making up stories and making up languages. As time went on, I've kind of gradually deepened it and developed it more. And when I started getting really serious about writing fiction, I adapted Aretaza and a lot of the settings there for the purposes of this book. And so this is the first book to come out in this setting. But as I mentioned, I have another one completed and another one in the works, which are within the same set in the same world. There's three main characters. The characters that the book actually opens with is a young girl named Uya, who grows up later in the second chapter. The warrior character is one of the invading tribe's members, and he winds up in a particular place because he captures Uya, that first woman I mentioned, who is pregnant at the time, and then she winds up as a servant to his wife, who's also pregnant. So the two pregnant women from different tribes, from enemy tribes, wind up being forced together in a place where they wind up having to kind of help each other.
Talking this morning with local author Jesse Bangs of Fergus Falls, kind of getting away from the book itself, you started really early kind of writing just ideas and mm-hmm. different things regarding, fantasy-type novel. And, tell us how that got going for you. And what prompted you to write this book?
As I mentioned, I had a friend that I met in the sixth grade who was at the time very, very deep into Tolkien. I had never been a particularly big fantasy reader up to that point, but he introduced me to it, and really got me into that pretty deeply. And the other thing that Brett, which was the name of my friend, got me into was linguistics and studying languages and foreign languages. And so when I went to college, I actually got my degree in linguistics, and that provides a lot of the background. And since then, just as a matter of personal study and my interests, I read a lot about linguistics and anthropology and sociology and those kinds of things, and history. All of those then kind of get boiled together and will tend to come up in my creative process and be things that I'm interested in and that I want to express or put out in a story. History has all kinds of, you know, fascinating events that happen and fascinating things that go along. But the great thing about writing fiction is then you can take those and then you get to roll your own and say, well, what if it happened this way? What if it happened this other way? And so the scenario that happens in this particular book, it combines a couple of different themes from my own studies and from my own reading. One of them is that I mentioned, I believe in a newspaper article, has to do with the historical recurrence of the conflict between nomadic tribes, nomadic peoples, and then settled civilizations. And something that has occurred repeatedly throughout European history, for example, is that you'll get these barbarian tribes who come from the east, from Central Asia, who invade and kind of take over, and then they settle down, and they kind of become themselves civilized and then get hit by the next wave. You know, so the original Indo-Europeans were this. They were a Central Asian people who came in and basically wiped out all of the, or intermarried with, it's actually kind of ambiguous what happened, but they came in and all of the European languages that we speak today come from that. And then in the time of the Roman Empire, it was the German tribes. The Germans came in from the east and made huge problems for the Roman Empire, but then settled down. And, you know, all of the Germanic speaking, which, of course, is a huge part of the heritage of this part of the country, you know, comes from these barbarian, quote-unquote, tribesmen who came in and then settled down and acquired civilization. And then later on, it was the Huns, and that's where Hungary comes from. And then later on, it was the Slavs, who now inhabit Eastern Europe. All of this is happening. So I wanted to take that that historical thing, that historical motif, and dramatize it within my own fictional setting. So what we have here is you have a settled people, but alongside them you have this nomadic tribe that comes in and just kind of wrecks everything for a little bit, but then the two people have to come to a kind of agreement, and the book, at its conclusion, is the resolution of the conflict between these two tribes.
Okay, and you know, you brought up an interesting point there. Just, you know, if I was following you correctly, is just these even the invading forces almost in essence become a part of the original peoples because
exactly.
They're intermarrying.
Yep.
And so, like you said, they have to come to a compromise or a resolution.
Right.
Because of that.
Yep. And you know, in actual history, sometimes the resolution it turns out pretty ugly. It's just, you know, one of the groups gets eliminated. I didn't want to write this story that way. So, you know, one of the other things that I like doing in fiction, that fiction does really well, is you have a large-scale historical event, whether it's a real-world war or, in this case, a fictionalized account of an invasion. And then you can personalize it. You boil it down to how does this affect these particular people. So what happens in this case is that the conflict between the two peoples gets boiled down to the conflict between these two individuals, where you have the warrior leader on the one hand, and then you have the woman on the other hand, who have opposite goals, but ultimately the resolution, the peace that the people are able to make with each other is a result of the peace that these two individuals are able to make with each other.
Interesting. You know, you talked and touched earlier on the linguistics or language creation. I think that's, It sounds like that's kind of a side interest of yours, that you actually have a language that's presented in some form in the book, And I hope I'm saying this correctly, Prosio, is that right?
Yeah, Prosio.
Okay.
Is more, that is, so language creation is a hobby of mine that I've, you know, been doing again for 20-some-odd years. There's a relatively minimal amount of it in the book aside from the names, simply because, you know, most readers aren't coming into a book like that in order to learn a foreign language. It's a fun thing. It's a thing that I then put up on the website so that readers who are interested can find out about it, can kind of dig into it a little bit.
You have an excellent website, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, it's up there so that people who are interested can dig into it and see what's there. It's not something where if you're not interested in that, it's going to get in your way as you're reading the story. But, you know, that's just a hobby of mine I've had for a long time. The world, the broader setting of Aratasa, began more or less as a place to put the languages that I was building. And that's actually the same thing that that J.R.R. Tolkien did with Lord of the Rings. He began his world as a place, as a setting in which his languages could develop. And then as time went on, then the stories that came up, the histories that developed around those languages provided the basis for the novels that he wrote. And I kind of actually went around things the same way. I went about things the same way. So in this case, yeah, Praseo is... don't ask me to say anything up in Praseo off the top of my head. I'm not actually that good at it. But it's the language that's spoken by the settled people there. It's meant to sort of sound... Originally, it was intended to sound a little bit like Portuguese. But it was modified as things went along. And I think it actually... I like how it turned out. It's a fun background element that informs the people and the stories and the settings. And all the place names have that in them.
Local Fergus Falls author Jesse Bangs. This book, it's available across multiple platforms, it looks like. Apple, you can get it through iBooks. Can you also get it at Amazon as well?
Yep, you can get it Amazon, ebook, and paperbacks. And they have it here at Victor Lundin in Fergus Falls.
So you can pick it up at Victor Lundin.
So you just come into town, you can buy a paperback copy at Victor Lundin.
Excellent. Author Jesse Bangs and the book Stormbride, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun.